Good morning, everyone. We're ready to proceed with oral argument, but first I want to advise you that seated to my left and your right is Judge Joan Gotchel. She's visiting with us for the second time. She was here 2 weeks ago, so apparently we didn't run her away. It's a particular pleasure for me to have her here because our career started about the same time. She was in the Federal Defender's Office. I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office. And then our paths crossed again because we were in the District Court and she was my next-door neighbor. So it's a particular pleasure to welcome you, Judge Gotchel. And with that, we'll begin with our first case, Habitat Education versus U.S. Forest Services 10-1322. And that would be Mr. Lerner.
Good morning, Your Honors. This appeal involves three large logging projects in the North Woods of northern Wisconsin, the Northwest Howell and McCaslin timber sales and the Fischel timber sale. The Forest Service committed two clear violations of NEPA. The first involves the cumulative impacts requirement in 40 CFR 1508.7 and .25, and the second is the failure to follow the requirements of 40 CFR 15.02.22, which sets forth a roadmap of if the agency believes it doesn't quite have enough information, what they're supposed to do to gain as much as possible rather than do nothing. Before turning to my first legal point, let me state at least five key facts that I believe are not in dispute here. The first is there's no dispute that these timber sales are significant. The Fischel timber sale is 5,500 acres. The other two are 7,000 and 9,000 acres. They're big. Second, there's no dispute that Fischel is within the relevant geographical area of the Northwest Howell and McCaslin timber sales. Indeed, the Fischel timber sale is immediately next door to the Northwest Howell timber sale near Eagle River, Wisconsin. Third, there's no dispute regarding the timing. A map of the Fischel project was done in January of 2006 when the draft EIS was issued. The scoping notice, what was described by the Forest Service as a detailed description of the proposed action, that's in the separate appendix at page 3, was issued in March of 2006. In July of 2006, the final cumulative impact analyses were completed by the Forest Service, and then in September of 2006, the final environmental impact statements and the records of decision, the decision-making documents, the final documents were issued. That timeline is not in dispute. There was 6 months between the detailed scoping notice and the final environmental impact statement.
There's another thing that's not in dispute now. The official EIS has been completed, right? And the official EIS considered the cumulative impact of the Northwest Howell and McCaslin projects, right? That's not disputed.
That's not disputed, Your Honor, but that's backwards under NEPA.
Well, but let me just finish. You didn't challenge the official projects analysis under the Act, right?
We did not. There was a procedural barrier that was imposed by the Forest Service to our doing that, and ultimately we were not allowed to challenge the merits of the Fischel cumulative impacts requirement.
So what are you asking the Forest Service to do now that it hasn't already done in official EIS?
It's something that's very different. What we were asking for them to do is in the Northwest Howell and the McCaslin environmental impact statements to do what NEPA requires, to fully and fairly evaluate all past, present, and reasonably foreseeable timber sales, including Fischel, for the purposes of the Northwest Howell, decisions to be made on the ground there. The Fischel timber sale EIS, which was done about 2 years later, is relevant to what happens in Fischel. Yes, they need to be looked at together, but you can't go in Fischel and, in effect, put the horses back in the barn from what should have been done and must have been done over in Northwest Howell.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is what is the harm? You know, it's almost like a harmless error analysis. I understand that, it was, in your view, backwards. It didn't follow procedurally as it should have. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm asking.
I understand your question, Your Honor, and here's the direct answer on that. In Northwest Howell, there are stands of trees and areas that are vital habitat for what the Forest Service has identified as regional foresters' sensitive species. These are at-risk species like the red-shouldered hawk, northern goshawk, that if their habitat is destroyed, their survival is threatened. In Northwest Howell, there were areas and stands of trees that had vital habitat. In the EIS, decisions were made about whether to cut down or thin those trees or do activities over in Northwest Howell that would impair habitat. That was decided, that was done in September of 2006. The Fischel Timber Sale EIS, which was completed in 2008, couldn't change what happened there. It was about Fischel, not about Northwest Howell. That's why NEPA says you have to fully and fairly evaluate all past, present, and reasonably foreseeable timber sales in the context of when you're making a decision. And the case law on that is very, very clear. It's because you can't easily put the horse back in the barn later. It's because it doesn't suffice to say, if we, in effect, tear down your house here, don't worry, in 2 years we might find you a place somewhere else. On-the-ground decisions were made in Northwest Howell. And if the Forest Service had taken into account what they should have at the time, they might have done things differently. That doesn't mean that they would have stopped all activity on Northwest Howell or McCaslin. It means that they would have looked harder, the hard look required by NEPA, at some specific areas where, on balance, if they were saying we're going to do extensive cutting next door, they might have done things differently. And that's important both for this case, on the ground with two large timber sales, Northwest Howell and McCaslin, and it's vitally important for the future that the Forest Service do what it's supposed to do and do it right, as all the case law we cited in our opening brief, page 4041, 5051, the Mid-States case, Robertson, the Blue Mountain case, the Tenth Circuit in New Mexico, all make clear what the Forest Service must do. They can't go and try to backfit, do a makeup, put the horses back in the barn later. That's not what NEPA requires. They violated the law, and they violated the purpose of NEPA. The purpose of NEPA is to get all the facts and all the information on the table for full and fair consideration before the decision is made. It's not harmless error, Judge Williams, because they couldn't go back later after they had already decided what to do on Northwest Howell and then somehow try to adjust it in a separate EIS for a different timber sale.
So you're saying in the official EIS there was no consideration of what had happened with McCaslin and Northwest Howell?
In the official EIS, they should consider what happened on Northwest Howell and McCaslin. That's part of the cumulative impacts analysis.
Right, and that was done.
But what they do in Fischel is decide what are the decisions on the ground in this part of the land that they do things, whether they cut this or don't cut this or allow this to be destroyed or this to be preserved. In Fischel, they are not changing what they've decided to do in Northwest Howell.
Correct, but they take into account the cumulative impact.
That's correct, but it's for a different purpose on a different piece of land, and that's why NEPA says that when you're doing it here, you can't go back and do it there, and that's why in the 20-mile case, the court found, we disagreed, but the court found what it found, that there was an adjacent timber sale that was a little bit too far off and too speculative to be considered a reasonably foreseeable future action. In this case, it wasn't 12 months after the final EIS. They had the information 6 months before, and they had to follow the law, which says do it right in the first instance, not try to do a bunch of makeups and make-dos later. Because
the problem I have with this is it seems like the target keeps moving, that the Forest Service can't come to conclusion on anything because there's potentially another project out there each time. At the point that the scoping notice comes out, the draft supplemental EIS is already out, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. The timeline here was in January of 2006, they had the map of Fischel, and they issued the draft EIS. The draft is not the final. The very purpose under NEPA and NEPA law is to have the draft out there for the Forest Service to get in more information and come out with something in the final that reflects the most fully informed, best judgment they can do. In 20 Mile, the court said in dicta, it may have been a better practice for the Forest Service to have considered a reasonably foreseeable future action for something that was 12 months after the final EIS. In this case, they had it 6 months before. I agree, Your Honor, ultimately there's some degree of line drawing in terms of what's a reasonably foreseeable future action and what's not. And in 20 Mile, this court said it wasn't. In this case, the district court said it was a reasonably foreseeable future action that was capable of meaningful discussion.
But the regulation, doesn't it seem to direct addressing potential significant adverse effects from the action under review?
Your Honor, two different regulations, 1508.7 and 1508.25, refer to cumulative impacts analyses, which by definition involve, as defined under the regulation, all past, present, and reasonably foreseeable future action. The district court found that this was, in response to Judge Tinder's question, a reasonably foreseeable future action on that side of the line. The 15.02.22 is a regulation that says what is the agency supposed to do when it's putting together the EIS for this particular timber sale or some other project for some other agency. And it doesn't quite have all the information it thinks is necessary. And what 1502.22 says in conjunction with the cumulative impact standard that says all past, present, reasonably foreseeable projects is they have to do the best they can to get the most information they can and use it as fully as they possibly can to reach a decision. It would be a very contorted definition of 15.02.22 to say you're supposed to get all the information except that which the cumulative impact standard requires that you get. And Highway J case, the Sierra Club versus Department of Transportation case, the Merida case, all of which we cited in our brief, says 15.02.22 applies. The Forest Service has to get the best information possible. Follow the roadmap. It's, I think, at page 44 and 45 of our opening. It's at page 44, 45 of our opening brief.
Sorry,
yes, Your Honor.
But didn't Judge Edelman go on to find, though he found there was meaningful information available, that nothing was shown in the record that would show that would result in a serious change in the environmental landscape presented in the Northern Powell SEIS?
Your Honor, there was nothing in the record because the Forest Service didn't do what they must do under the cumulative impact standard and under 15.02.22 to put the information in the record. It's not, with all due respect for Judge Edelman, to do a quick perusal of the record and see did he think there was enough there or not. It wasn't there because the Forest Service didn't put in what they're required to do then. It's a catch-22.
Is there any dispute that at the time of the final environmental impact statements on these two properties, plots, that at that time enough was known about Fishel that it was definite enough to have been included if that much had been known earlier?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe there's a dispute, and the district court specifically found for purposes of the final EIS, it was a reasonably foreseeable future
action. At the time of the final EIS.
At the time of the final EIS and could have been meaningfully discussed, finding of the district court.
So is there any case law or anything in the regulations that would support the distinction the district judge made between information known at the time of the draft, as I read it, and information known at the time of the final? As I read it, the opinion, he said there wasn't enough known at the time of the draft,
right,
but there probably was enough known at the time of the final.
Your Honor, I believe under the law that's a difference without a distinction. NEPA, both the regulations and indeed all the cases we've cited in our opening brief and reply brief, make clear that the operative document, the final decision-making document, the one indeed that's appealable, is the final, not the draft. The reason you have a draft and then a final is to get more information. Indeed, the cumulative impacts analysis was not finalized by the Forest Service until July of 2006. In other words, 4 months after the Fishel scoping notice was issued that described, as they put it, a detailed description of the proposed actions. Your Honor, if I might just reserve a minute or two for rebuttal. I want to answer your questions, but
well,
I'd like to keep a little bit of time.
Finish answering your question, certainly.
Yes, that question, not the next question,
go ahead.
But I'll wait. Well, okay, so my question goes back to this harmless error discussion that we were having. Assuming, I mean, I think theoretically it's possible that the options for Fischel could be limited because decisions had already been made on the other two properties, right? I mean, that's theoretically possible. Should we be concerned about whether or not it's actually the case here? Or is that something that we shouldn't be concerned about?
Your Honor, as a court
as opposed to the Forest Service?
Your Honor, with all due respect, this court doesn't have the science and the technical expertise to go through the record and make those sort of scientific and technical decisions. The appropriate role of this court is to require that the Forest Service follow the law, do what NEPA requires. This is not a case in which the Forest Service came out with a cumulative impacts analysis that included Fischel, and our scientists' clients are disagreeing with their scientists. This is a case when they didn't do it at all. You should reverse and remand, instruct the Forest Service to follow NEPA, follow the law, do it right in this case, and that will then set the right direction for future cases as well.
Thank you, Mr. Lerner, and I will give you a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you very much.
We certainly had a lot of questions for you. Ms. Peterson?
May it please the Court, my name is Elizabeth Ann Peterson, representing the Forest Service here today. The relief that Habitat seeks is, in fact, a paper exercise in this case. The EIS for the Fischel Project includes a comprehensive cumulative impacts analysis that covers the actions in both of the sales that are challenged here. And the Forest Service, since issuing the SEISs in this case, has adopted a rule that in every case, the cumulative impacts analysis will include anything that has been proposed, any project for which a goal has been identified that the Forest Service is actively seeking to implement.
Do you agree that at the time of the final environmental impact statements on McCaslin and Northwest Howell, at that time enough was known about Fischel to do whatever the Forest Service is required to do?
At that time, enough was known that under the current rule, it would certainly have had to be included in a new cumulative impacts analysis that was conducted at that time.
Under the subsequently enacted rule?
Correct, Your Honor. It also, the real question is whether it needed to stop these projects, go back, conduct additional analysis because it had progressed farther with an action that it knew it had in the pipeline and that it knew would include an EIS that would cover the material here, that missing information had already been, that the fact that that information was disclosed, it was missing, had been disclosed in the draft EISs for these projects. And the question really is whether if after it conducts the analysis, publishes that, seeks public input, and if then before it makes a final decision based on that analysis, it needs to stop, reconduct the analysis, including the fact that it's now a proposal and not just something that's inchoate and in the pipeline, and start the process again. And as Mr. Lerner said, it's really a line-drawing exercise. And
that's going to have to be done in the Fischel project anyway, isn't it? Which is just
absolutely, Your Honor.
So what? It's not a great delay to go ahead and do that for the Fischel project as well as the North Howell and the Cass.
Well, the question is whether it's arbitrary and capricious not to. And as this court suggested earlier, the no-action alternative is always available for later projects. So in the context of forest planning, which is this ongoing, dynamic, integrated process where each project follows on the project before, where many projects follow on the projects before, there are alternative kinds of projects like salvage sales and that sort of thing. But in this case, that's not what was going on. These were anticipated projects. The overall plan implementation had already been considered in an EIS for the entire plan. When the proposal reached when the official project reached the proposal stage and the analysis had already been done for Northwest Howell and McCaslin, that did not constitute new information that was so significant that the environmental consequences were likely to be different. And if they were, if in the event that there was something unforeseen, that would be determined by the cumulative effects analysis that would be conducted in the Fischel project. So as this court said in 20 Mile, the real question is, what additional analysis could be added, and why would it be inadequate if it were deferred until the Fischel project?
But Mr. Lerner was very concerned about the species, you know, that have been, it's been designated regional foresters sensitive species, and the goose hawk and some of these other species, and that concerned him because the trees would already be down. And then you want to speak to that point?
Well, the point is that if the problem is that these projects, in conjunction with Fischel, would damage too much critical habitat for these sensitive species or whatever, would have adverse impacts that were unforeseen, the remedy is in the Fischel project. The no-action alternative is available. There is no requirement that the Forest Service conduct a timber sale simply because it's proposed it. And if in the cumulative impacts analysis that accompanies that project, it learns that there are going to be unforeseen or untoward impacts on the species that it has assessed in these projects, the remedy is available. It need not damage habitat that would take that the degree to which those species are affected past what was expected or into an unacceptable place. So, in fact, forest planning actually does present a somewhat different kind of process for the NEPA. Do you have requirements
to assess? Do you view the district court's analysis that you look at the time the draft is issued and see what is definite enough to be included at that point? And that's kind of the point at which you stop. If more information is developed, becomes concrete later, you don't have to worry about it because the draft is already out. I mean, do you subscribe to that analysis or not?
I think the district court's analysis is correct, Your Honor, but it isn't that you don't have to worry about it. It's that the standard changes. When the Forest Service sets about to study the impacts of a sale, it does its best to collect all the information possible. And at this point, when it set about to analyze McCaslin and Northwest Howell, it knew that the impacts from a couple of other projects, the spruce decline and the Fischel and maybe another project or two, were not sufficiently known to be analyzed meaningfully. And it disclosed that in the draft. And it went ahead and conducted the elaborate analysis going species by species, alternative by alternative, to determine what the impacts would be from these projects in conjunction with everything it knew the impacts from at that time, and went ahead and published that. By the time it published that, the Fischel project had reached the point where some meaningful information came in. The question then is, was it arbitrary and capricious not to include it? It's not required at that point, as Mr. Lerner would have the court believe. Instead, the question is whether information that comes in that period may be included without reissuing the draft, and whether it is significant enough that a supplement is required.
And the final EIS on these two projects, however, did not reflect the current state of the Forest Service's knowledge, right? I mean, by the time they were issued in final form and the decision was made relating to them, the Forest Service knew a whole lot more about Fischel at that point, right?
It knew some more about Fischel, Your
Honor.
Well,
enough, right?
That it would have attempted to analyze that project had it known it sooner.
Where's the authority for saying that the final environmental impact statement doesn't have to reflect the state of the Forest Service's knowledge at that point?
I don't think that's a fair characterization here, because what this EIS reflected was the current state of the Forest Service's knowledge of the impacts of these projects when considered in conjunction with everything that was known at the time they were analyzed. There is no requirement that if during the period between the issuance of the draft and the finalization of the decision, new information comes in, that information must be included. Any information that's received during that period is subject to the arbitrary and capricious standard in Marsh. And in this case, the district court held, we believe correctly, that the issuance of the proposal in Fishel did not rise to the level of significance that required the Forest Service to stop, redo its analysis with the additional information, and
it's a judgment of the significance of the subsequent project.
That's correct.
How can the significance of the subsequent project be judged if an analysis hasn't been conducted of it?
Well, that's the point here is that it's not so much, I may have misspoken, it's not so much the significance of the project as the significance of the information in light of what's already been analyzed. What additional analysis will be possible that wasn't possible before? And the additional analysis that will be possible is the analysis that will take place before any of these impacts are possible. That analysis will occur in the context of the Fishel sale. So in this case, the district court correctly held there was no requirement to stop everything and do nothing until that additional cumulative effects analysis had been conducted, which, of course, could have led to yet another delay.
I guess just, stoppage. You know, we're assuming that the whole Fishel problem could be solved by no action on Fishel, right? That's what you're saying. If it turns out that having done these prior projects, Fishel is a big problem and Forest Service just doesn't act. What if it's the reverse? What if the Forest Service's objectives in McCaslin and Northwest Howell can be accomplished better via Fishel, but the trees are already down in McCaslin and Northwest Howell? I mean, isn't that a theoretical way that this could all spin out?
There's no reason why that isn't a question for the discretion of the Forest Service. The Forest Service certainly could if it believed that these later sales were likely to be better or to accomplish goals that were unachievable without them. It could certainly do that. But these projects were proposed in 2001. The official sale reached the proposal stage in 2006 and sort of overtook the process here. There was nothing to suggest that there was going to be an unforeseen and adverse impact.
So what is the test that you're suggesting that we should apply in judging the Forest Service's decision not to include Fishel? What is the test that we should be looking at?
Arbitrary and capricious,
okay,
as the district court did. And I'd just like to add that the regulation regarding unavailable information does not apply to unavailable information from other projects to be included in the cumulative impacts analysis, because if you were to look at it that way, you would have to wait until all of those projects had already been analyzed. So future projects really could not be included in cumulative impacts analysis without requiring that the entire implementation of the forest plan be done as one thing.
And what's the decision to which we apply the arbitrary and capricious standard? The decision that Fishel wasn't important enough to consider?
The decision that the additional information received during the period between the issuance of the draft and the issuance of the ROD was significant enough to warrant supplementation of the analysis.
Thank you.
With that, I will conclude unless there are further questions. We believe that the district court should be affirmed.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Peterson.
Yeah.
I'll give you an extra minute, Mr. Lerner.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, this isn't about discretion. This is about the Forest Service following the law. We're not asking for a supplemental EIS. We were asking for between the draft environmental impact statement issued in January, the detailed description that comes out in March, and there's 6 months before the final EIS for the Forest Service to follow the law the way NEPA sets it out. They've ignored it. They didn't follow the law. It can make a difference on the ground here because the Fishel EIS looks at Fishel, Northwest Howell looks at Northwest Howell.
What standard do you say we should be applying and what should we be looking at?
It was arbitrary and capricious for the Forest Service when it issued its final EIS not to fully evaluate the cumulative impacts of the Fishel timber sale, which, as the district court found, was a reasonably foreseeable future action. And that standard is wholly consistent with this court's decision in the 20-mile case where you gave the Forest Service a couple of inches, and in effect here they've taken 20 miles. Secondly, you may find that they did not comply with 1502.22, the analysis that counsel has given you, that it somehow doesn't apply to one of the requirements of NEPA. It just simply has no basis in the regulations. What 1502.22 says, and it's in our brief at pages 44 and 45, and I'll just sum it up, it's do the very best you can. What you cannot do is default to doing nothing. Finally, the argument that counsel made on Fischel, let's just say, surprises me. Her answer on what could have been done later to your questions was they could have done nothing, approved no logging, a no-action alternative on Fischel. That is nothing like what we've argued here, that the Forest Service should do nothing. What we've argued is if you follow the law and you do it right and you assess the cumulative impacts for a timber sale in which, separate appendix page 3, they had detailed description of the proposed action on Fischel in March. They redid the cumulative impacts analysis in July. The citations on that are in our reply brief at page 18. So their final cumulative impacts analysis was not done back here. It was done 4 months after the Fischel scoping notice came out, when they knew what they were doing in Fischel and why, and the location, the boundaries, the purpose and need, 5,500 acres of logging, a lot of the detail of what they were doing on the logging. 4 months later, reply brief page 18, citations to the record, they finalized their cumulative impact analysis, did not consider Fischel at all, final EIS, September of 2006. There should not be so many excuses here. The Forest Service should comply with NEPA, do it and do it right. This is not a dispute about whether their science, having looked at this, might differ from what our scientific clients and experts say. This is about the Forest Service's failure to comply with NEPA, to follow the law, and then try to find a bunch of excuses later of why they didn't have to do it. You should reverse for the purposes of this case for them to do it right, perhaps protect some more additional areas, and for the Forest Service going forward, for many timber sales, they ought not to get away with this. They ought to have the right guidance from the court of here's how you follow the law, do it right. That's right. What the law requires and the facts here. There shouldn't be any further excuses. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lerner. Thank you both counsel for fine arguments and very thorough briefing on this question. We'll take the case under advisement and call the next